This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the Women's Sport Show. It's Thursday, 6 p.m, so it's the podcast rotational, and today it's me, April, and I'm joined by two very special guests. Bit of a different show from normally, just talking about sport, but we're speaking about such an important topic. I have Ray and Cam, who are both from the men's and women's rugby team, and they're here to speak about the consent workshops that they've been doing over the last part of this year. Firstly, just a few pieces of news is that it's been a long time since I had a show, and the women's curling team won a gold medal at the Winter Olympics, and I think it was the only medal GB got, and it was a women's team medal, so really big congratulations to them. And also some massive news is that the United States women's football team is going to be paying them the same money as the men's, which should definitely be applied to all other football teams and all other sports as well. But now on to my guests. If you can both just like introduce yourself, what you do and how you sort of became involved with the workshops.
Yeah, so hello, I'm Cameron. I am the men's rugby union welfare and charity sec for this year. I'm in my third year. I study psychology and neuroscience, and yeah, so I met Ray about a year ago. She is the leader of UON Rugby Minds, which is an initiative we've brought in to basically connect the men's rugby club, the women's rugby club, and the IMS program to basically improve welfare, culture, all these sort of topics.
Hi, I'm Ray. I'm in third year and I study economics. Yeah, so I was brought in. I got the job to run the Rugby Minds programme. So we've got a little committee of like 12 of us from across the IMS men's and women's programme teams and stuff. And this basically came about because we had a centenary dinner to celebrate 100 years of the men's club and 35 years of the women's club. And what the event ended up being, unfortunately, for the women's team was loads and loads of men, very little female representation. There were 100 male alumni at the event and one female. So it, and then the behaviour of the men at the event was quite unbearable for us women who were in the room. So it sort of brought about a bigger discussion about the way that men conduct themselves, and the university apologised about it a lot, didn't they? And you know, it kept being said to us, oh, this is a problem of the older generation, this is how men of the older generation behaved. And the reality is, for a lot of girls, it's not, because a lot of, and not just girls, people at this university have been victims of assault and harassment. So we thought we'd do something bigger.
Yeah, I guess we sort of sat down after, didn't we? I think our two clubs haven't really been that close in the past. For two societies that have that share a common interest in sport, we had a pretty poor relationship. And I guess we sort of sat down and just, you know, thought, what can we do to make this year and these two groups of committees have a real impact, a real change? And then obviously came up with the idea of sort of compulsory consent and sexual misconduct workshops. And it sort of snowballed from there.
Do you think this has been a problem for a long time with the rugby clubs and generally sports clubs, and like that one dinner was like just like highlighting the problem that's been gone on forever, or maybe the fact it was an alumni event or anything affected it?
I mean, as a female, I know I speak about it with my female friends in my circles daily, so it's always been a problem. And unfortunately, when you're part of a sports club and you go out on sports nights, you hear about the misconduct of other people in the club, and unfortunately, more often than not, it's males from male sports teams, which is why we put out a survey. So I put out a survey to the women's rugby club, and of the women who responded, over 90% had said that they'd been assaulted and harassed. And over 65% of those cases have taken place at uni, and 100% of those were by men in sports teams. So that was like, it was startling to get those, and also some of the girls wrote sort of written testimonies and they were just horrible to read. And unfortunately, we knew when we saw that as well, like, we're one club, the 75 mm-hmm. sports clubs at this university, those results unfortunately are going to be the same throughout, so we're like, oh, we've got to do something, we'll tackle it in rugby first.
Yeah, I think it was pretty shocking. As a lad, one of the comments that came up when we actually did the workshops was that we will never quite understand what it's like and what it feels like. When we were sitting down trying to plan these sort of workshops, the amount of women from the women's club who didn't want to be involved because they felt it would bring up emotions or, you know, trauma that they'd sort of suppress was pretty frightening. And I think it just sort of opened my eyes and a lot of the lads' minds to what really goes on. And yeah, I guess we just tried to find a way to have a little help on that.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's a really big need. And do you think the sort of need for some sort of like consent class and workshops is like across the whole uni and like other societies? And I know we spoke before about like just generally, you said like in the university sort of committee and like the university sort of environment. Do you think it's sort of necessary that everyone sort of is like taught and hears about experiences and things like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Shadow of a doubt.
I think as well as what we try to emphasise is that this wasn't really that hard to sort. I mean, me and Ray put a lot of time into the logistics and stuff, but it's the reason it had such a big effect was because it was students of the same age with the same interest just sitting down and having a conversation. We didn't need funding. We didn't need, you know, all these adults, people to come in and give you these PowerPoints or anything like that. It was just people sitting down having an honest conversation. And I think that was, Ray will talk about it in a second, but it rolled out with over 100 boys from our club, which is just
140 from your club.
140, which is almost the whole club, which is just ridiculous. And straight away, the medics teams got involved.
So yeah, they contacted me, the welfare set from the medics rugby clubs. They're a rugby club of nearly 100 boys as well. And they contacted me and I sent them, I'd composed like a document of exactly how we did it. All we did was we had a simple leaflet, and this leaflet was put in front of every single person, and it had two blocks of questions on, and we just worked through the blocks of questions within the allotted time we had. And it was as simple as that, and I just sent all of the stuff we had from it, all the survey stuff, everything we had, to the medics boys. And I went along and watched them deliver it. They got on each table, sorry, the format of this was that.
Yeah,
it was in
explain
like a,
the format, yeah.
It was in like a classroom situation, like TNL, a seminar. We did it in TNL. The medics did it in the like reception area of a building in Jubilee. I don't even know what the building's called. And we just had tables, maybe 10 to 12 people on each table. There was a senior male player on each table and a senior female player on each table in our ones. And then the medics just got a random group of medics girls who play hockey, football, netball, all the sports across sort of the medics program. None of them knew each other. We all had a big debrief before, not debrief, what's the pre? Before a debrief. A brief.
Briefing.
we briefed before and had a conversation, and they all just were like, yeah, no, we're good. We know exactly what's going on. And then, yeah, they ran it. They led it amazingly as well. So, you know, we were able to give it to 140 boys in UNRUG, but they gave it to over 60 in the medics club as well. And I think other clubs are looking to do it as well now. So that's like, it further proves sort of how simple a concept it is. It's not revolutionary. It's not genius.
Yeah. And, conversation. And that's the thing. And that's what we want, is we want it to be rolled out. Every sports team, every sports club, every society, even at the university, should have it as a compulsory thing. And I think also we sort of incentivized boys to go, but we didn't make it like there was no punishments for not going. Boys wanted to turn up, and it was on a Friday evening in Monica Partridge at the end of your week. But it was so impactful because it was just us sitting down having a chat, an honest, open chat. It really wasn't hard to sort, and I think that's what we're trying to sort of push to the SU and push to people, that it's that easy. Why can't we roll it out, kind of thing?
Yeah, so you're saying, you know, it was quite easy to sort of run and things like that. So you definitely would recommend to anyone else who was like in a sort of leadership position in a society that it would like be very easy for anyone else to sort of do in their society?
Yeah. When we say easy, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
We knew what we had to do and we did it and we were able to. Like, we're full-time students. We're not just students. We do loads of stuff.
Yeah, for our it's very possible. Whatnot,
but it's very possible to do. So what, like, ultimately what we want to happen is for it to be part of what is in sort of the pledges of the committees and the constitutions of the committees for, say, a welfare sector rollout to each club and have a joint situation with males and females sat in the room with it.
Yeah, exactly that. And I think it should be a sort of educational element. I think every club should take it upon themselves already to sort of deliver to their club that kind of stuff. So I think we're hoping that any welfare sec or any president who runs for a role in the next couple of years has that in their manifesto or has to deliver it, among many other things. But yeah.
No, it sounds like a really good idea to, like, make it sort of with, like, the SU and manifestos and things like that. Like, it's sort of a good way to, like, make sure that, like, clubs are going to do it and things like that. Because, yeah, it sounds like it should be applied to, like, every society, and the uni should be, like, the students' union should be, like, doing as much to, like, help other societies run it. So what sort of things could the students' union do to help you guys or to help other societies?
We need a law passed in the SU Council, essentially, to make it compulsory for each club to do it. But those are quite difficult. We have the backing of clubs. We've already got the support of over 20 clubs, the total number of people in each of those clubs is like 3,500 students. So that alone would carry most of a crisis night out. And, like, we've always broken it down, we've said, like, think about it. If you've got rugby in one corner of crisis, you've got hockey, cricket, football, lacrosse, all of these sports knocking about in the corners of crisis. If that many people in all those areas of it were aware of how to conduct themselves and how to hold their friends accountable and how to hold themselves accountable, how different would a club night be? So even with the groups who've already said they'll do it, it's enough to change, like, how people act on nights out, and not just nights out, how they conduct themselves in real life.
Yeah, I completely agree. We'll just go to a quick song break and then discuss more after that.
This is URN Sport.
I am joined still by Cam and Ray, and we're going to speak a bit about, like, the effect of the workshops on, like, the culture that they've seen, and maybe, like, what things people have realised that they can do to, like, be more of an ally and do better in, like, their situations on nights out and things like that.
Yeah, so I think we were just talking in the break about how the questions we were asking were sort of surprising and really made a lot of changed a lot of opinions in people's minds. So we were talking about in the workshops about consent and sexual misconduct. The first thing that people tend to think of is stuff like rape or the really sort of severe cases, but actually little things like catcalling or grabbing a girl's or lad's ass, like, those small actions are sexual harassment and they can have really long-term effects. And in the workshops, the girls who volunteered to came down spoke about their experiences and their friends' experiences, etc. And I think the boys that really surprised almost that really small little thing, things that seem really small, like little jokes, can actually have really long lasting impacts. And what I feel like coming away from it and speaking to all the lads after the workshop is that there's more of a sort of appreciation for an accountability with our behaviour. Little things, just like being aware of the sort of words you're using, the way you're behaving, especially on nights out. I think we talked about how, you know, alcohol doesn't help any of these situations. Of course, these happen in daylight when people are sober, but nights out, especially uni nights out, can really heighten them. But yeah, I think the culture shift and the accountability lads have has really improved as a result.
I completely agree. And one of our aims with Rugby Minds this year was to sort of build a better rapport between the men's and women's clubs, because, like we said earlier, there has never been one. And from that the boys who came to the consent workshop recognised all the girls who led it, and sort of, you know, on nights out they go and speak to them or they go and wish them a good game. And yesterday both the men and women's first teams were playing at Highfields, and all the men going to watch their boys play were all wishing our girls to have a great game and stuff like that. This has never happened before. And our first team captain, Rihanna, shout out, she came up to me and she said, in my 3 years here, this has never happened before, but every single one of them who just walked past me wished me a good game. And like, okay, maybe the consent workshops themselves didn't do that, but just this respect at the end of the day, not assaulting someone and not harassing someone, is having respect that that person is a human being. And that's what we've sort of started to engage, this idea that there isn't a lot that separates us, the men and women's clubs. It's just a general respect now.
It's just it's a knock-on effect. I think people came away from it, and our target was to sort of tackle sexual misconduct and harassment, and what we actually got was sort of a much wider sort of, everyone sort of came together a bit. And what we were talking about was that in these sort of movements of change, it tends to be the people who aren't in the group that are affected that have the biggest impact. And obviously with stuff like women's rights and feminism, it shouldn't have to be women fighting their battles. And I think the lads' eyes are really open to that. You know, we can have a real impact on change if we are better allies to the girls. And as a result, our two clubs, the men's and women's rugby club, are probably the closest they've been. Mm. And the plan is to sort of continue that relationship. And I'm pretty sure all clubs and societies would get a similar reaction if they did something like this.
And something we made really clear as well during it was, like, obviously, it goes without saying that the statistics don't lie. More often than not, the assaults are against women, but it doesn't neglect that it can be against men, and men do suffer from things and men do feel uncomfortable in situations. And it was an opportunity as well for the men to speak about their own experiences in a safe environment with the boys they're comfortable around, with the girls who are open to speak about the topic. So, you know, men shouldn't feel like they have to suppress that either, because that's, you know, we talk so much now about men's mental health and how important it is for men to feel comfortable about speaking about these things. Men are programmed to often think, like, oh, if they got touched up by a girl, that's a compliment. Not if they didn't want it. So, yeah, that was a point that was made in the thing, that this isn't an attack, this isn't some, like, major assault from the women's rugby club to the men's club, being like, you're all this, you're all that. It wasn't that at all. But, yeah, I think that was a powerful message out as well.
And we tried to highlight throughout that good people can make bad mistakes, especially when drunk or whatever. I mean, about what I was saying earlier about the grey line, you know, with what is harassment, what is consent. I think often people don't know how they're acting is potentially a bit forward. And this is what we were discussing through the workshops, like how you can pick up on signs and signals, you know, non-verbal communication as well, to avoid situations where stuff like that could happen.
Definitely.
Yeah. So obviously the topic sort of overall is quite hard to speak about, and like you said, it can make people quite uncomfortable. So do you think the fact you guys are like on a team, you know, that you I guess spend a lot of time with each other, you know, people are quite, I guess, in a situation where they're going to be as comfortable as possible with people that they know and people that they train with and people that they respect, do you think it's really important? From what you've said it seems to me that like the respect between the people sort of leading the workshop and the people attending seems to be quite a critical part of it.
Yeah, 100%. We were talking before coming on about how we could potentially do workshops in like halls or something. And we basically just agreed that the reason it had such an impact was because it was people with a common interest from the same club with their mates speaking openly. I think if it had been an adult coming in or giving a presentation or someone you didn't know as well, it wouldn't have had the same impact because it was people you know, because it was your friends speaking, you know, people you respect speaking openly. That's why I think we got such a sort of buy into it.
100%.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it sounds really, really important. I think I was asking the question about like halls because I know quite a lot of people who don't do any societies at all. And I think obviously everyone who's sort of at uni, you know, going on the nights out, spending lots of time with each other, most likely to, you know, interact with each other. And also, like, we're in a little bit of like a closed environment within the uni. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, if we could change the world and speak to every single man and every single woman about like what more you can do with consent, like that would be amazing, but we can't. So I guess within the uni environment, we just want to like speak to as many people as we can, and hopefully have like as many allies and things like that to combat any sort of, you know, misogyny and other things, or, you know, harassment that happens.
Yeah, I guess it was, there's an importance within sports clubs because there is a drinking culture in clubs, and unfortunately around drinking is where most of the incidents come from. So I think that's why it has a, probably quite a high prevalence at university. But from a personal standpoint, I think consent should be taught from the age of 5 in schools. So, you know, in an ideal world, hopefully in 10, 15 years' time, kids will come to uni knowing this stuff, and then they'll have these consent workshops in their clubs or whatever as sort of a refresher for how you behave when there's alcohol involved. But, yeah, I think that's why it was important to tackle in clubs.
For sure. And I think we're not expecting to completely revolutionise people's behaviour or, you know, have widespread changes. It's just small things, like this small education element in one club has had such a massive impact just because of a small thing that was started. If every sports team, and then hopefully after that, maybe even every society, I don't see why...
More unis as well.
I don't see why other... I mean, we've spoken to friends at other unis who are 100% on board with it. It takes...
Trent do one as well. It's not entirely the same format, but they already run some consent stuff. So it's happening.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, every club and every society has a sort of responsibility to not educate all of their members, but like offer something for us off outside of the pitch, outside of rugby. I think it's a people environment. Like we're all friends off the pitch. Why can we not have these kind of conversations that would really be impactful?
Well, I think as well, like anytime you put a group of people together, there's a responsibility that the members of that group shouldn't have the privilege to represent that group if they behave inappropriately, and that goes for if they behave inappropriately outside of that group context. But unfortunately, like with instances that have happened within the men's rugby club, it has been a crisis on a night out where you're wearing your club tie and you're doing this and that, not you personally, but when they're wearing their club tie, so you are representing your club whether you like it or not, and then therefore the club does have a responsibility to deal with that behaviour.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because, you know, we're all like ambassadors of what we do, or like I'm an ambassador of radio and stuff like that. And yeah, I guess you wouldn't want to be on a team with someone who's, you know, not respecting other people. And, you know, I wouldn't want to do radio with someone who's not respecting other people. So I guess it sort of is something that's very important to everyone. And like, you guys obviously are so passionate about it, but I also would be so passionate about it because I wouldn't want anyone that like I know or any of my friends to like not be educated as educated as possible, because yeah, I mean, since like the murder of Sarah Everard and things like that, I feel like safety of women is a really important issue that like everyone's speaking about, but maybe not so much has changed. Like I still would say I don't feel safe on nights out, and I'm not sure what can be done. It's a very big issue, you know, there's no simple fix, but like you said, just small changes that each person can make hopefully makes a big change overall.
That's exactly what it is. And what we were trying to get out of it was that even if we don't completely change, you know, how people think, just having that conversation gets it in people's heads, and then the next time they go out they think about it and they look for it. And trying to challenge people that they, if friends or other people they know are behaving in that way, they can get involved, and how they can get involved correctly, because little things like that can spark other people to do it and other people. And if you can have that sort of impact in a rugby club, in a men's rugby club, which is notoriously quite a sort of alpha male environment, you can definitely can do it in all other sports teams, in all other societies, kind of thing.
Well, there's an accountability as well. Like there's, you have instances sometimes happen and then there's excuses being made. Oh, he might have been a little naive, or she didn't really know what was happening, this, that, the other. We eradicate that immediately. If you have this workshop immediately, then there's an accountability.
It clears it up, yeah.
If anyone conducts themselves in a bad way over the season, over the year, well, you attended the course, you know exactly what's going on. so now you've just made an awful decision and you're not naive. So yeah, accountability was a huge thing about it as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting. We're just going to go to another song break and then be back soon.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome back to URN Sport. It's April here and I'm still joined by Ray and Cam from the men's and women's rugby team and from Rugby Minds. And I was just thinking about how obviously like it's like this has sort of come through as your sports team. It's sort of like been highlighted through rugby and, you know, maybe the sport sort of culture has maybe like made things more relevant or more prevalent than, I don't know if that's the right word, prevalent maybe. But is there sort of any other, you know, sort of campaigns in other sports, or is there sort of like Football Minds or something, or is this something for the future that hopefully would be good? Because it seems like so much good has come out of the Rugby Minds sort of campaign thing.
So yeah, it's the first URN Sport have ever done. They just basically had a bit of funding and said, like, we need to improve the welfare and culture within the teams, so put some money aside to do this. So we've got a budget to run more workshops and bring in speakers and run events and stuff like that. But yeah, for sure, I mean, hopefully it will speak for itself by the end of this year, and URN Sport can see that, you know, another other huge teams that they probably also require it. I think that you could put infinite amount of money into welfare and it would be necessary, because mental health and stuff around that is so important, especially in sport, especially in performance teams and elite sports. Like, there's so much pressure surrounding it, so yeah, definitely I would love it to be in every sport.
Yeah, and I know that obviously like the welfare sec within each society is like still a relatively new thing, so I guess it's like one step further and like actually proactively doing sort of welfare events and workshops. So what other sort of topics or things would you maybe look at doing in the future in these workshops?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that we were talking earlier about that education side of it. We only play rugby 10 hours a week, but we see all the lads off field stuff is all the rest of your hours. The conversation about consent was supposed to almost be a starting block with it. We want to do workshops in, you know, LGBTQ issues. We want to do it in racism issues. You know, we want to, the plan with the rugby club, for example, is to next year have three different sort of seminar series. So one about consent, one about those two other topics throughout the year. So like one per term. So when you pay your membership, you're paying for not just the rugby and the coaching, you're paying to sort of, you're buying into all of that, and that's going to be a requirement for everyone. And hopefully people would want that anyway. And that's the feedback we've got, is that people appreciate this and get something out of it. And, you know, if every welfare sec, every sports team and tried something similar, the effects could very quickly become really quite impactful.
Yeah. You were saying about like requirement. I guess my question is it good that like, was there like a benefit that yours was sort of in a way like not completely 100% requirement, and like people, it's very impressive that like everyone was willing to sort of show up and better themselves. I think it says a lot about people in general that like they wanted to learn. And I guess maybe the educational aspect is like we are trying to educate everyone.
Yeah, I think we were a bit sort of nervous when we were preparing it that people wouldn't maybe take it seriously. You know, we didn't have any members of staff there. There was, you know, it was literally completely run by students for students, and we were a bit worried, I guess, that people would maybe joke about it or not come. And to be honest, to get 140 out of 150 really boys, there was no punishment for not coming. It was just like a please turn up and get involved. To have that many boys across all years, you know, freshers through to PhD students were coming along and listening and giving their thoughts.
They all spoke as well. Like, every person, we did it over 3 weeks. And I sat on three different tables of 12 boys, and every single person spoke. They all felt they should. And obviously when we set into it at the start, it's a little bit tense, it's a little bit awkward, it's not a nice topic to speak about, no one wants to speak about it. But like when they started recognizing that it was quite a safe space, and actually the more questions you ask, if you are confused about certain things, it's better to ask them than to sit questioning certain things. Like one boy on my table genuinely asked, like, he was like, don't sound like an idiot, but what is harassment? Great, thank you for asking.
Yeah, exactly. Because
imagine going further in your life without knowing.
And, exactly. And the whole impact of the workshop was that it's almost not even about the topic. It's just about sitting there and speaking openly and actually just listening and giving information, taking information. Like, I think people came away knowing. So we had 18-year-olds sitting on a table with a 23-year-old. If you see older members being respectful and listening about how they could be better blokes with misconduct and with consent, the younger lads will take it on as well. So if we did that for a variety of mental health topics and for a variety of social issues, suddenly you start to have a real snowball effect on the impact of it.
Just a general overall kindness.
Exactly.
General overall respect.
Yeah.
All topics.
It's just like the be kind sort of messages. It's prevalent
just
to
so
every
easy
sort
to
of
say
yeah.
as well. And like we all wish to be kind people, but you know, to actually, it sounds bad to like, oh, I don't know, to like force the situation and then for people to actually start to realise it.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys wanted to speak at all about like the questions that were sort of discussed in your workshops, and maybe, you know, anyone else listening from a society could like think about what sort of things they
discuss. The overall format was we basically did just 3 one-hour sessions. So we have 5-6 teams in the men's rugby club. We split them for the ones and twos, threes and fours, and so on. We bring them in, we'd split them, everyone up, friendship groups, everything. We'd just sit them on different tables around the room. There would be a senior member of the committee from the men's rugby club and a women's rugby club member on each table. And we'd just sit down and we had 2 different blocks of questions. The first block of questions was about what is consent? So like basically trying to clarify that grey area. What is sexual harassment? What is consent? Like, do we know about it? Like people just speaking, but the whole format was that a senior member would just ask the question and then the rest of the table would just give their thoughts, and then I would get up and or Ray would get up and we'd bring everyone's thoughts all together, sort of thing, because different tables had different thoughts. And then the second block was more of a moving on from that, like how would we react, so how can we be better allies, what would we do if we saw something, you know, how can we make sure we're not doing anything. And I think that second block was where it really sort of kicked on, having some sort of proactive thoughts and into the future of how we can go away from this being better.
There were far more open-ended questions in the second block. And like every table went off on their own little... What was nice about it was that it was completely informal, these workshops, such that each table went off on their own little tangents of different experiences or, you know, different topics, which was good and exactly how it should be.
Yeah, and it was just lovely, like boys, you know, giving experience of maybe their friends or their girlfriends or their sisters, people just speaking really openly. And then at the end, you know, collating all those thoughts together so everyone can sort of hear the whole room's thoughts. And then going away with the leaflet, I think people were, you know, really almost sort of stunned and reflective, I'd say.
I think going away and thinking about it is probably one of the most important parts, because it's how you are going to like put that into the rest of your life. And I feel like if I sort of attended, the thing I probably would take away the most is like what other people said or did in like a situation that like worked well for them or what didn't work well for them, and just having just like a collative knowledge of like these sort of things sometimes work and these sort of things sometimes don't work, and how you can sort of support other people, just hearing other people's experiences, I guess, which sounds like obviously you had such a massive amount of students at this event that collecting everyone's experiences together and sharing things is obviously going to help everyone else, by sort of, you know, having more knowledge and having more knowledge about how it's so important. I think people sometimes can just say, oh, you know, consent is an important issue, but you need to really realise how prevalent it is. You said with your survey, like over 90% of the people who answered had been harassed, and 90% of people is almost every person. It's
I think it'll
unbelievable.
Be 100 by the end of the year, because lots of those girls were freshers, unfortunately, which is sad.
Yeah.
Like, but it comes as no surprise, does it?
It's not surprising to hear, but
it's shocking,
I guess it should be surprising to hear.
Yeah.
And to some men and some women, maybe, you know, they don't realise that it is, you know, almost every single person. And you were saying about like sort of like respect between the leadership of the rugby team and like the younger members, and it's sort of trickling down? And do you think that should, because obviously you guys are both 30, I don't know if you're staying next year, but do you think it will sort of trickle down to future rugby teams and
our plan was with it was that the older boys will sort of set an example, especially in sports clubs at the uni. There's a massive, not hierarchy effect, but you earn
kind of it.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. You earn your club stripes and you look up to the older boys. And what we were trying to say was, you know, if we can get the committee backing in, if we can get all these senior boys really leading by example, 100% everyone will follow lead. And if we can get some of those boys who are staying on committee next year, or the boys who are coming back, if they've done it in their first year, by the time they get to their third year, it'll be so wired that they'll just pass it on. It's a little, you know, it's a, it goes like that.
Definitely. The boys, they'll become the leaders in that situation. And then it takes 3 years for it to be just the norm in the club.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you think that everyone goes to uni for 3 or 4 years, if you can get it instilled, anything you can get instilled in a fresher group in the first years, if by the time they then get to their third or fourth year, that just becomes common practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we could make stuff like this just common practice, it just becomes so hardwired, it's almost not even a problem anymore.
100%.
Yeah, that would obviously be the ideal, you know, that everyone sort of can help teach each other. And yeah, it sounds like it's such like a good idea, but also it's such a big issue to tackle. Mm. Do you feel that, you know, you're tackling a small part of the issue, but you think this can definitely be scaled up across the uni?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah, I think it's... and we don't... And not even just with sexual misconduct and consent. I mean, with any issue, I think the power of sport and the power of sports teams to create change is absolutely massive. There's such a sort of brotherhood in our club,
mm-hmm.
that, and you know, that sort of team feel that I think can be so powerful. And if a group like that get behind something like this, it can absolutely snowball.
We're gonna do our own consent workshop in the women's club this term in the coming weeks as well. Our welfare sec is gonna run it, so yeah. So many people have spoken to us about it as well, right. who've just seen it online or seen it pushed around and stuff. And we've spoken to the RFU, that's the rugby
football union.
And they've heard all about it and stuff like that. So like, we are trying to get it out there because it's so replicable.
Yeah.
If these two idiots do it, then more people can do it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And Cam, you just said there about like, you know, the brotherhood in your team and I guess the power of sport and overall in society, I guess, more like, you know, sport is a very important part of our society. And, you know, varsity is coming up, so the sports teams are going to be, you know, like looked up to by a lot of other people at the uni, and especially like freshers. So, and I'm just thinking like in the Premier League, they have like the Rainbow Laces campaign and things like that. So, you know, we're going back to the point of like, you're an ambassador of your team and you're an ambassador of the uni. Do you think that like starting this with a sports team can actually have like a massive effect, because sport is so powerful?
Oh, 100%. And I think we were putting it on our social media when we were doing any of these things. We put on our social media, and the amount of parents who responded, who follow our stuff, the amount of friends, housemates who responded, I think it has the power to really go far. And as we said, we don't want to stop here. I think the challenge now is to make sure that next year it's the same, and then the year after, and it's not just two crazy people who start saying it doesn't continue. You know, we really want it to take off, and hopefully, you know, after this year with the SU, every sports team will have something very similar.
I hope so too. It's been very insightful. We're just going to go to one more song and then be back.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome back to the final minutes of the Women's Sports Show. I'm joined still by Ray and Cam, and we're just going to finish up by like summarising, I guess, the main messages of their workshops and also like the main takeaways of things that can be done going forward.
Yeah, we were just sort of going to summarise with that our the workshop that we ran with Rugby Minds is just a really small and easy thing that we hope that other societies can replicate. You know, sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, consent are absolutely rife at university, and the figures are quite frightening when you think about it. And if it's happening to that many girls, women, we should be doing more, and we can be doing more. And more doesn't even, it doesn't require much. It just requires potentially one workshop in your year to your club, to your society, to have massive, massive impacts on their behaviour, their thoughts and stuff. If you want to like interact with Rugby Minds, the new initiative there, we have an Instagram page. What's our page, right?
At UON Rugby Minds. Don't follow the spam account.
They're doing a giveaway at the moment, and hopefully this is just the starting point. Hopefully we're going to have many more of these about many different topics coming up, so we'll smash loads of stuff on social media. We would love the SU to provide some funding, and also to make it a sort of, what's the word?
A constitutional law.
Would like other societies to do the same. Everyone has come up and spoken to us has been like they love the idea and they're trying to roll it out, but we'd love it to be, you know, forced to, it has to be a thing.
Consensually forced.
Yeah. Consensually forced. Yeah. So if every society and sports team could get on board with that, that'd be great. And yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much.
If you've got this far.
Well, thank you guys for both coming on.
The millions at home.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Hopefully everyone's learned a bit about like how important it is. And I think every time you hear like some statistics, it just kind of makes you shocked again. And not that you can forget, but like over time, you know, maybe we all need reminding that these statistics are so high and everyone does need to be doing more. And you guys are doing such an amazing thing by helping to educate people. And yeah, we're all at university, you know, education is power. And in this subject, education is very, very, very powerful. So thanks very much for listening, everyone. I'll be back at the start of April, and see you soon.